Well, it was back in sometime in 1974 that then newsman for CKLW Radio, Byron McGregor, recorded The Americans, and it became a huge hit. Well, it's back now in the wave of the emotional feelings over the Iraqi war. Byron's on the other end of my line this morning. How are you, Byron?
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I haven't seen you in a long time. It just never occurred to me that we would trot out The Americans again after all these years. But here it is, and I guess it's getting lots of play around the country, isn't it?
Well, it's amazing, JP, that it has come out again. And certainly it was nothing that I did, but I guess because of the Persian situation, sentiment just started rolling, and it's been like a snowball. And
patriotism is running high, and that's I don't want to call it a song. It's not a song. That narration of yours raises the patriotic temperature.
Yeah, it does. And when I gave the Red Cross $100,000 the last time it came out, and certainly I'm going to make sure that the Red Cross gets a portion of any residuals that come out of this thing again. I mean, I'm not in this thing for dough, and as I say, I didn't kick the thing off. It just started rolling, but I'm getting deluged with calls. CNN wants to do a story. Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, WBZ in Boston gave me a call. They want to do an interview on the situation. It makes me feel good because, you know, I'm an American now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that, Byron.
Yeah.
At the time, in 1974, you were a Canadian, were you not?
Yeah, and I still am. I have dual.
Okay.
I'm
but
Canadian.
You were not an American citizen then.
No, you're right. But since then, I became an American in 1986, so I've been an American now for almost 5 years.
Now, Byron, refresh our memories. What was going on in 1974 that spurred you to do that narration? Was it the post-Watergate syndrome that had everybody feeling guilty and had America generally embarrassed?
Well, actually, not really. If you'll recall, JP, there were a number of things that were troubling this country at that time. Spiro Agnew had just resigned. We had a national trucker strike. There was the gas shortage with, you know, people lining up and fighting for gas. The country at that time was in a real downer. And at that time, I was living in Windsor, and looking across the border, and I had so many friends here in the Detroit area that I just felt that it was something that needed to be done. And
well, apparently, you were right at the time because of the incredible reaction then, and apparently the time for The Americans has come again. Will you do an updated version? Because obviously this narration doesn't exactly fit.
Well, you're right. It doesn't exactly fit, and I was contacted by a company in New York last week, and they asked me to, just as you pointed out, do an updated version. I have misgivings about that because I don't want to give anybody the impression that I'm trying to take advantage of the situation that's going on in the Persian Gulf right now. Not only that, it's almost like an olden goldie. You know, it's you listen to some songs of the Beatles.
You don't want to tamper with it, do you?
Yeah, I really agree with you. It's not the kind of thing you want to mess with, and even though it is dated, as I say, it's sort of like listening to, a Beatles song from, 68 or 70 or whatever. I really don't feel like it's the kind of thing that you want to mess with.
Okay, listen, it's your baby, it's your decision. Byron, nice to talk to you. I haven't seen you in a long time. I hope to soon. Good luck with this, and nice to talk to you again. Once again, the airwaves across the country are filled with Byron McGregor's 1974 narration, The Americans.
The United States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany. It has declined there by 41% since 1971, and this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the earth. As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottomland of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to help. Germany, Japan, and to a lesser extent, Britain and Italy were lifted out of the debris of war by the Americans, who poured in billions of dollars and forgave other billions in debts. None of those countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When the franc was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up, and their reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris. I was there. I saw it. When distant cities are hit by earthquake, it is the United States that hurries in to help. Managua, Nicaragua is one of the most recent examples. So far this spring, 59 American communities have been flattened by tornadoes. Nobody has helped. The Marshall Plan, the Truman Policy, all pumped billions upon billions of dollars into discouraged countries. Now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decadent, warmongering Americans. I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollar build its own airplanes. Come on, let's hear it. Does any other country in the world have a plane to equal the Boeing Jumbo Jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas 10? If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on Earth even consider putting a man or woman on the moon? You talk about Japanese technocracy and you get radios. You talk about German technocracy and you get automobiles. You talk about American technocracy and you will find men on the moon, not once, but several times, and safely home again. You talk about scandals and the Americans put theirs right in the store window for everybody to look at. Even the draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They are here on our streets, most of them, unless they are breaking Canadian laws, are getting American dollars from Ma and Pa at home to spend here. When the Americans get out of this bind, as they will, who could blame them if they said, the hell with the rest of the world? Let someone else buy the foreign bonds. Let someone else build or repair foreign dams or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. When the railways of France, Germany, and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both are still broke. I can name you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble? I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone. And I'm one Canadian who's damned tired of hearing them kicked around. They will come out of this thing with their flag high. And when they do, they are entitled to thumb their nose at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of these, but there are many smug, self-righteous Canadians. And finally, the American Red Cross was told at its 48th annual meeting in New Orleans that it was broke. This year's disasters have taken it all, and nobody, but nobody, has helped.